perfectly punctual.
Yeah.
Okay, 7 o'clock. So I just want to remind everybody to turn off all cell phones before we begin the meeting. Anyone who wishes to speak, please sign your name, address, and email address on the sign-in sheet at the podium, and write legibly. And everybody, speak loud and clear into the microphone, and when you speak, state your name and address for the audio record, please. Each person speaking during items from the audience section will have 3 minutes to comment. And finally, please hold all applause so as not to interrupt the progress of the meeting. So I'm going to call the July 20th Design Review Board meeting to order now.
Carolyn Adams.
Here.
Tim Olson.
Here.
Nolan Morgan.
Here.
Brad Brown.
Here.
Scott Russer. Dave Russell.
Here.
Susan Bush.
I believe Susan is on her way. She'll be late. Okay, we don't have any minutes to approve tonight. So on the agenda, we have to complete a project discussion on the completed project South Kirkland Park and Ride at 3801 108th Avenue Northeast. And are we starting with a presentation by staff?
Yeah, thanks.
Oh, excuse me. Before we go there, are there any requests from the audience?
Would you like to speak?
Okay. This is I'm Janice Coogan with the Kirkland Planning Department, and as you often do, you do a post-discussion review of projects that have been completed. And tonight, what's on the agenda is the South Kirkland Park and Ride project. And just to do a recap of that. Well, before I get started, there were two emails that I placed at your seat from neighboring properties at gmail.com. One was received at around noon and one at 5:38 today. So you have copies of those emails. So I'll go through a brief overview or background of the project. And then we'd like to, then I'll go over the modifications that the project included after the design review approval, and then have an opportunity for you to discuss the project. So that's kind of the plan for this evening. So just a reminder, the transit-oriented development project at the South Kirkland Park and Ride, it really has three components: the expansion of the Metro Park and Ride, so that included renovation of parking stalls, a three-story parking garage, and the property is divided in half by Kirkland and Bellevue. So really the garage is in Bellevue, and a portion of the project down here, the plaza here, is in Bellevue as well. So the project went through design review and was approved in 2012, and I just recently received a certificate of occupancy this summer. So here's what the parking garage looks like. Then the Velocity project is the Imagine, let me orient you here. The Velocity project is this building here, and this is 58 units of affordable housing, and this is the mixed-use market rate building here with commercial uses. So. The Velocity project is a building that is owned by Imagine Housing, and it includes the affordable housing. They have a green roof, and it was completed this summer. Here's a graphic showing the plans that were approved as part of the design review process, and then a photograph of the completed project on Northeast 38th Place. And this just shows the green roofs and common area on the Imagine Housing building. Polygon Northwest was the developer, or is the developer for this project, in a partnership with Imagine Housing. They provide affordable housing, a nonprofit agency, and also King County Metro. So there's a public pathway that connects Northeast 38th Street with a transit center, and here are pictures of the stairs going up. This is the what was approved, and this is the completed pathway here. And as far as the Imagine Housing project goes, the only there are two changes that were requested, and that is to change the materials from a concrete, or the planter boxes, from concrete to steel. Also on the north facade, to change the stair tower material from wood IPE material to a fiber cement siding. And this is a palette of the different building materials. And so they, so this was what was going to be on the stair tower, and then it was changed to this, whoops, this other material here down below. Now the Kirkland Crossing project, that's a mixed-use building. It's a five-story building over shared parking garage for both buildings. 183 market rate with three affordable housing apartments in there. Ground floor, retail, commercial. There is a pedestrian plaza and at the gateway corner, and both buildings were developed with LEED building techniques. So the Kirkland Crossing project received occupancy in April. So this shows graphically how what the project looks today, and this is Northeast 38th Street and 108th going this way. This is the retail or the commercial area along 38th Place. So let's see here. This shows the material palette here, different materials. And the modifications that were requested for the mixed-use building, the Kirkland Crossing building, were the building materials at the gateway facade, and I'll go back and show you where those are, and at the tower, and also the window. There were slight changes in the window pattern, and the cantilevered portion of the balcony deck was brought in from a closer to the building, and they raised the roof parapet by still meeting the height requirement. So this shows really where those changes were. The wood laminate material here at the tower was changed to a fiber cement, and there's that. The material location at the windows, you can compare with what was proposed in the plans, and the spacing of the windows and the different material changes. Also, a brick was shown at the columns along the commercial area on 108th, and the brick was eliminated to just be the concrete at the base, consistent with the commercial area on Northeast 38th Place. The wood laminate, this wood laminate material here, as you can see, this texture and slight, and the color is similar, but the texture, the pattern was changed. This is what was installed, and this was what was proposed and approved in the design review decision. The manufacturer stopped producing this this pattern, this material. So the decision was to find as close as possible material to what was approved with the design review plans, and this was what was installed. So you can see it's a different pattern, but similar color here. So there were concerns about that this was a modification from what was approved in the plans. The Polygon and the architect have been, and they, and the concerns from the Houghton Community Council, many concerns were raised about different aspects of the project. The developer Polygon and the architects, Weber Thompson, have been trying to address the concerns that Houghton Community Council had. And they went back to the manufacturer to determine what could be done to look at different treatment of this material, and they looked at painting, and it was not feasible to paint the materials, and they installed these test panels up here as another option. And staff took a look at this, as you can see out in the field, and recommend that given the alternative of replacing these panels with replacing this material with those new panels, that keeping the existing panels on the facade are more in keeping with what was originally approved by the board, and that they should remain rather than replace them with these two panels just at the gateway. So we wanted to, we told Polygon that we would bring this back to the board and get your weigh in on this. So get your opinion. So, yes.
Janice, it looks to me that the surface of this paneling is wavy. Is that just optical illusion?
You know, I don't notice that, but we have representatives from Polygon and the architects here that can certainly answer any questions that you might have, and you can also get their input on this. I don't see that in the field, but I can see how you might, you know, it might appear that way. Let's see, I'll just continue through the presentation. And so this is additional, so this is just another example of where the pattern of windows and the materials had changed too. But it's a very, I believe, very minor change. These are the landscape plans that were approved by the board here, and here's an example of the Gateway Plaza, what was proposed and what was installed at both here and then also the other side of the entrance to the park and ride. This shows also the plans along 38th Place and the Gateway, and another view of what was installed. Now this is a view of the landscaping that was installed at occupancy and concerns raised by Houghton Community Council and staff. The developer, Polygon, listened and added more landscaping to the base to soften the base of the building at the intersection. So that was a response to listening to the concerns. So I just wanted to summarize some of the concerns that Houghton Community Council had, and we met, staff met twice with the Houghton Community Council. Design Review Board member Scott attended one of the meetings as well to talk about the review board's process in evaluating the project. So Houghton Community Council had, I guess, different expectations of how the project turned out. The lack of, I think they wanted, they expected a greater upper story modulation setbacks, greater maturity of landscaping. They were concerned about the amount of commercial that they expected versus what was what ended up being built. And they were concerned that the signs were illuminated, and they felt they didn't realize that the code allows internal you can have lighted signs, but what is prohibited is the internal box cabinet signs. So you can have lighted signs, and the whole project went through a master sign plan for evaluation of all the signs, and the board did review a preliminary sign plan for the project. Then it went through a master sign plan evaluation by the planning director. So those signs were went through a review process. The council expected more sloped roofs than what was built. And they were concerned with the modifications that were approved to the design review conference plans, such as the wood grain composite panels, elimination of the brick on the columns, and the authority that staff used to approve those modifications. Staff, there is criteria in the zoning code that allows the planning official to approve modifications, and those were evaluated by staff. The only modification that was not reviewed ahead of time by staff was the wood grain composite panels that, again, the manufacturer discontinued. Okay, so we'd like to open this up for your discussion, and I guess some of the things that we'd like you to talk about is the project. I know several of you were not part of the design review process in evaluating this project. But we'd like to get an idea from you if the types of modifications that were approved by staff, if they were acceptable to you, or if not, we will consider that at a future time when we're reviewing modifications. So we can discuss with you, you know, any processes that we can put into place that might, and for future projects and evaluating modifications, we have some ideas. So anyway, we just, like you've done with other projects, we'd like to have you discuss and evaluate the project and the process, although I know it's difficult for several of you who were not involved, but perhaps you were watching the process. So, any questions, or?
Question that I have is, were members of Houghton Community Council present at those design review board meetings? Because it appears in reading the email, which I just did just mm-hmm. now, that it sounded to me that there were some previous plans that they thought were going to be the approved or at least the reviewed plans, and that there was some disconnect between mm-hmm. those two sets of plans. Did I get that correctly?
Yeah, I think that, and we have a member of the Houghton Community Council here with us. John Kapler attended, yes, Elsie Weber is here with the Houghton Community Council. John Kapler attended several of the design review board meetings during the process, but not all of them. And staff also gave status reports to Houghton Community Council throughout the process. I don't want to speculate, but I think that as early on in the process, as part of the request for proposals, that Metro Transit and the city worked on, and they had another architect that had some schematic drawings of how the what could be built there, and there might have been some expectations that the building would look more like that. Also, during the development of the design guidelines for the Euro Bay Business District, we worked with makers on developing the design guidelines, and there were some graphics shown as part of that process. So it could be that there were these preliminary drawings out there that there was some expectations of that the project would look like that. So,
well, Susan, go ahead.
I'm sorry, I came late. I just wanted to ask a question. Did you, Janice, cover the changes in the color palette?
There were not changes in the color palette.
Susan, make sure you're speaking into the microphone.
Okay, we can go.
I think the rendering showed dark windows and they're white windows. And I also, there is some comparison imagery that had the dark. So right here, if you look.
I see.
The dark color of siding, mm-hmm. The dark windows, as opposed to the blue and the white.
Okay.
Just, I didn't know if you'd covered that.
No, I didn't.
Janice, I have a quick question. Mm-hmm. The emails that arrived today, they look like they're just sort of cut off. Is this the extent of everything that
was
there?
Yes, yes.
Okay. Like the sentences just sort of end without...
It looks like they may have transcribed some of the meeting, the audio-visual from, or the audio
from the
recordings from... the Houghton Community Council meetings.
Okay. Janice, the question of upper story setback, when I read, I wasn't present for this, or just at the very last mm-hmm. meeting, so I'm learning fast. When I read the USONE chart, it does talk about some requirements for upper story setbacks, but the project, all the faces are set back far enough that these aren't met. Is that correct?
No, there is a requirement for upper story setbacks, and there is a average, as in the USONE chart, it mentions what that requirement is, and it also, let's see, it talks about an average. Mm-hmm. There's an average setback requirement. It also refers to a plate 35 in the zoning code. And I just have a copy of this. And it talks about the formula that's used to create the upper story setbacks. They are not, I mean, contrary to what people think or may interpret, the upper story setbacks are not measured from the first floor or the second floor, from the floor below. They are measured from the property line. And it's similar to this formula, similar to what's approved or what's required in the Central Business District. So as part, and the design guidelines also refer to upper story setbacks. So from a code standpoint, the developer is part of the building permit plans, they showed compliance with that formula in the upper story, the average setback. Now, the board did have discretion on with the use of vertical and horizontal modulation and colors, building materials, in evaluating the top, middle, and bottom part of the project. So I guess
could
that's
you just highlight
what I have to
the
say.
Upper story setbacks that did show up? There's very little, I think.
Yes, very little. And I guess if you measure it from the property line, and if you had a plan view, they would show up in greater detail if you had a plan view of the project.
Well, this gateway east elevation shows a little bit, but at the very top.
Yes. And there is a requirement that the building be lower at the gateway, and there's a radius and how it's measured and shows that it meets that. So there are the expectations that maybe the upper story setbacks were measured from the lower floors could have been what happened. On the north?
Yeah, where okay. The raised roofs were the first roofs.
Okay. Let's see here. Go west. Well, since this is at an angle, it's kind of hard to define north elevation.
I think you had the photo. I was thinking of the side that faces the parking lot.
Okay. That is the first. It's a panoramic, but.
We don't have the original
renderings. No, I didn't include that. So Mindy Black is here with Weber Thompson, the architect, master architect for the project, and also Eric Evans with Polygon Northwest, if you have questions of them as well.
Okay. I have a question on did the community council comment on the change in material or color of the big, I'll call it the E tower thingy on the plaza side?
Yes, they...
Was that part of the panel? Were they intended originally to be totally matchy-matchy on texture and color and everything?
The gateway tower was intended to be more of the wood grain.
The one with the big oversized E in the presentation.
Yes, that was to be... Let's see here. That was intended to be the whip. Let's imagine. Okay, let's see.
So I'm looking at the PDF that was, there was a submittal that was added in April.
Let's see. I'm sorry, I'm trying to find it here.
The transparent tower.
Yeah, you can see there.
Yes.
So that... I understand that the E was just a placeholder, probably.
That's correct. It was just it was not intended to be the final design for.
Right. But the material on the face of that E appears to be transparent at the top.
Yes.
And the boards are gapped much.
Yes,
more
they are.
Was that commented on by the community council or?
I'm checking with Mindy. I don't recall that them bringing that up, but that was something that the architects had revised.
Okay.
Went back and had the contractors redo to create more of a space between the boards, and that was a comment that was brought up by Scott during his evaluation.
Mm-hmm.
It's unfortunate that he is not here tonight.
Yeah. Because the spacing on the, at least it looks to my eye, what was what was approved has not the composite panels, but it looks like real wood because it's small enough to be real wood. Was that the intent?
No. Can we bring up Mandy?
Sure.
Mandy Sorry. Black. Mandy, would you mind addressing that question?
Mandy. Hi, Mindy Black with Weber Thompson. The intent was to have those slats on the tower component be the wood composite panel.
Okay.
The more we worked with the provider of that, there was concern for sealing of the edges so frequently and water intrusion being an issue. So that was the reason to go away from that. We did, I believe Janice's photo here of the completed project was before we had the contractor reinstall the slats at the top in a greater spacing. So that was revised in the final construction.
As I was out there looking at it today, and it looks like the bottom part of it is just 5/16 hardy, and then about 10 or 12 feet up it switches to thicker stuff, but they're all mounted on the same standoffs on the rain screen system. But so you're saying up at the top it eventually gets to be a bigger spacing because it's real tight. You get no gaps between it visually.
It's at the top when you get past the parapet, it does increase spacing.
Okay.
And that's how our detail shows. And they went back and hadn't installed it per the detail and reinstalled it with the increased spacing at the top.
But the lower portion was never intended to have the bigger spacing continue?
No.
Not, I mean, like that one?
Yeah.
Okay.
Hard to get it to be weatherproof with that spacing, with the material we were looking at.
Okay.
Hello. Quick question on the windows. I know we're talking about some of the other materials changes, and I apologize if I missed you talking about it, but, you know, it's shown, what was shown in the renderings looked like, you know, anodized aluminum or something like that, a much darker framing on the windows, and what's installed there looks like vinyl. So was that something that, was that a change that was made, or is it just the difference between the rendering?
I think it's a graphic illusion. If you look at the booklet that I provided Susan, the perspectives in that booklet show them rendered as white. When you take a flat elevation of those renderings, you have the black lines in either side that create the boundary of the frame, and when you reduce them that small, they become a black line. I'm sorry. But look at the perspectives rather than the elevations.
Okay, sorry.
And I can show you those.
Where am I going to find those?
Towards the back there.
Okay. Gotcha.
So,
okay, I see.
That is.
I didn't go through this process.
That's fine. That is the booklet the board reviewed on the final one. So those are very clearly white windows. It's hard to get a black vinyl, so black vinyl was never in the cards.
But there is dark vinyl.
That must have been what we were talking about there. So.
And there was an earlier question about the panel being wavy. They aren't, they're flat panels. It's just the grain that provides that illusion.
Okay.
How did the change from brick to concrete come about?
Structurally, it was really driven by structural sizing. The columns extend down through the parking garage structure, and we have some transfer of the slab between the two levels, and so our columns grew significantly from kind of a standard size. Once they did that, we were fearful that their massiveness was going to overwhelm the building. What the concrete is there is the actual requirement for structural. Adding brick to that would have reduced kind of the opening between columns by another foot once we build out the brick. So we felt that in keeping with the commercial space along 38 that was approved as concrete, that this was an acceptable modification so that we could maximize the glazing between columns as well as that passageway, the colonnade along 38th.
Another quick question then, just while I was looking at the windows, I think this was kind of asked before, but the paint is is much. Was that something that you mentioned in they've been through a change, the paint color there? Because in this rendering, it certainly looks a lot.
Yeah. We actually submitted paint samples, and the names that are called out in that booklet are the actual names that were painted on the final product. So it's printouts are no substitution for actual paint samples. So there was no change to the blue note, the brown areas, or the light analytical gray areas.
Any more questions?
And do you have any of the graphics that were presented to the community council? It seems like all of these are images are what the design review board saw. Yes. And, you know, a lot of the changes, while one or two might seem insignificant, all of them together can make a dramatic difference. That said, a lot of the complaints I've seen in the emails and the conversations going back and forth, they talk about the setbacks. But from what I've seen from what the DRB reviewed, that seems similar. A lot of the logic and reasoning behind the changes I can understand, but it's difficult because a lot of the complaints we're hearing is from what the community council saw. And I can't make very good comments without comparing the final product to what the original community council reviewed.
All I can say is we showed them, gave them a status report throughout the process. I don't have those exact meetings. It may have been one or two meetings. I can certainly go back. I don't think that there was a great change. Now, they may be thinking about prior to the design review application coming in, that they had seen some plans as part of the design request for proposal stage, or in the development of the design guidelines. So this has been a long process involving code amendments years ago, zoning code amendments, creation of the design review guidelines, and then the design review process. So,
but they were aware of the design review board, of course. So that the communication paths were open and clear.
Yes.
Well, that, and I guess that'd be my question, just my naivete, since I wasn't involved in the process. Mm-hmm. I mean, these packets are available
online,
you know, prior to every meeting, and they knew it was going through design review.
Mm-hmm.
Was there ever presentation or even from Houghton Community Council of, you know, because it sounds like they had set something up, they had reviewed something, and it was meant to be handed off to DRB, and they're part of their delegation of design review to the DRB rather than them doing themselves, if I'm reading the comments correctly. Is that a fair, what was the genesis of, what was the handoff between Houghton Community Council's review and DRB picking it up?
The Houghton Community Council, their involvement early on was when the zoning code regulations and the design guidelines were drafted, and they were involved in that process of the code amendment and the creation of the design review design guidelines and the zoning code regulations for Yarrow Bay Business District. Those were developed. Part of them were developed separately from the Lakeview Neighborhood Plan as part of the transit-oriented development, YBD1 zoning, and at some point they were right on par. You know, they were about the same time. And there were many public meetings that we had for the transit-oriented development proposal, part of the Lakeview Neighborhood Plan. We tried to keep the Houghton Community Council abreast of this project and everything that was going on early on.
Well, pardon, Susan?
How is this going to work this evening? Are we going
to
have
a... I was thinking what we could address each of the three items first, and why don't we talk about the specific concerns of the community council, and I think we've already talked about the first one with, you know, the process itself, and the next one is, should the materials have come back to design review?
Well, the question was brought up, perhaps by Nolan, about the color change. And the architect said that the actual color samples that were approved are what's used. So from a technical standpoint, there was no change. So the city staff wouldn't have had to make that decision on their own. It's really just comes down to how it was represented in the imagery. So that's a tricky subject. You know, when you are you approving an exact color sample, you know, color number, or, you know, hexadecimal color? Are you approving, you know, imagery and elevations, or imagery and, you know, and some of the, you know, 3D models?
So that's actually something that we could clarify going forward, what that we want to see actual material samples, color samples, so that we can avoid, that's an easy fix, I think, mm-hmm. going forward.
You know, regarding the windows, I mean, I have a whole list of things, but the windows, when we were doing that, our review of past projects, 6 weeks ago, a month ago or something.
Yeah, I wasn't here for that one.
One of the really strong game changers on these buildings is they're rendered with dark windows, and then they come out with white windows, and the color palettes stay with what was shown with the dark windows, or not. In this case, that changed as well. But it has a dramatic difference in mm-hmm. how the building reads, and I think that we have to be careful about
okay.
that. Because I think if you look at the what's the name of the other building, the SMR building?
Glossy.
Oh. That mm-hmm. one, to me, stayed much more true to mm-hmm. the original renderings. And I think there's less concern about I think in general, people feel that the appearance of that building is nice, and it looks like what was expected. Whereas this one, just, there's a whole number of things that, you know, like, all one at a
one
time might not have made the difference,
mm-hmm.
but when you add them all together,
mm-hmm.
it just doesn't look the same.
One of the things that staff has talked about is with future projects from a process improvement standpoint is having the applicant submit a form, just make it more clear that they need to submit any modifications up front so it doesn't come in piecemeal and so that we can look at these together. All together with a project rather than and make it a little more formal so that we can maybe not formal, not always bring the minor changes to the board, but get a better sense of cumulatively how these might impact the design of the building.
Which will then inform whether the board needs to come back or not.
Yes, mm-hmm. yes. So we have talked about implementing that.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Process.
And there are just jurisdictions that are much more, it doesn't match in the end.
Mm-hmm.
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 And some of the projects we've looked at, we've asked for specific color samples.
Yes.
Of materials.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
There were color chips that were submitted in the packet to staff. Of course, when we make copies of those for the board, you know, maybe they don't always.
Yeah, for instance, if this is the, if that's that blue,
mm-hmm.
And I realize this isn't the official paint mm-hmm. sample, but again, just the way it prints out,
mm-hmm.
you know, if you're looking at this, you'd say, oh, well, that's a close up of this paint sample. That's the blue it's going to be. And
mm-hmm.
looking at the picture, you would definitely not guess. I mean, I'm not the best at picking out colors, but mm-hmm. you would definitely guess that. And, you know, there's nothing inherently deceptive about it. Paint colors mm-hmm. paint color. There's no mm-hmm. real effect on
the whole
project.
If the Houghton Council saw this.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
And I strongly suggest, too, with paint boards, is that not every single paint should be the exact same size, but instead be in relationship to how much of that color is on the facade.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, if it's white windows, then a tiny little bit of white windows in a very linear form should be on a color board, as opposed to just, you know, and if it's, you know, predominantly blue, dark blue, then that should predominate the color board.
Okay.
And also see it not like this, you know, seeing it outside in shade on the north side of a building in direct sun, you know, it's obviously a little bit more work, but if it's critical to, you know, to future projects, I think that's a good idea. The other thing I would strongly recommend too is that we don't reinvent the wheel, but find out what other jurisdictions do in this situation. How, you know, do they require, you know, really strict adherence to process, submittals of, you know, samples? When does the respective design review boards get back involved so that we don't waste time figuring that out?
We did include in your packet a chart that from other jurisdictions. The Houghton Community Council asked us to do that research, and so we did include that. Is that not in your packet?
No.
Mm-hmm. I didn't get that.
I didn't get
it. Oh. Oops. Okay. It meant I meant to. I will.
Okay.
I will send that out to you email. I apologize. We did. I did mean to include that. We checked with other jurisdictions: Seattle, Redmond, Bellevue, to ask them about how they handled modifications, and also there was a question whether someone brought up that Seattle board members actually go out and do an inspection before or look at the project, which planners do. We go out and do our inspections. I don't go out every month to check on the construction of the project. The modifications that I approved, I felt were minor enough, and I did discuss some of them with my superiors, my supervisors, the outside composite panel, you know, pattern. That was one that I was not aware of. So it would be helpful, I guess, as in all these post-review projects, that we get more direction from you. I'm taking notes here. So far you've mentioned the windows and the color change and needing larger color palettes. Are there other comments that you have?
When we talk about formalizing the change process,
I
think it'd be helpful if the DRB, you know, talked about that and was involved in that process. But starting at the very beginning, I think if, you know, we're dealing with various community councils,
mm-hmm.
and they're seeing something, that should maybe be a part of the initial presentation to the DRB,
mm-hmm.
so we already know what's expected from the community,
mm-hmm.
what they're expecting,
mm-hmm. yeah.
and we begin the conversation from there, rather than, you know, potential wholesale changes, you know, from one, you know, review board to another review board. So I think somehow facilitating communication between those two groups would be helpful.
Okay.
Is there a mechanism to have joint meetings so we would actually be viewing it together so that it's not secondhand and we can gauge what's
But they can attend our meetings.
Yes, they can attend your meetings. they could appoint someone to attend your meetings.
I think it would be useful to have a system of accountability, because that's really the only way that we can enforce that it is built the way it's been approved.
What about a review of the building permit drawings, the approved building permit drawings by the DRB to make comparisons? I think there's a lot of steps that were taken that cumulative make a building feel very different. The window sizes and the fenestration patterns are somewhat different. The parapet height and the clerestory height is quite a bit different, and so the proportion of the building is reads very differently. I wonder if the floor-to-floor height changed. Seems like the lower floor, maybe it's because the top floor went up so far, the lower floor seems like it got shorter.
Well, and there's also a grade change.
Sure. The paneling in question, I think it, in some ways I think it's less an issue of the material itself, but in the renderings it's shown with a pattern of reveals that breaks it up and makes it, you know, it's more active, it's got more interest, and it, those are not there, so it reads as a uniform plane, which, you know, doesn't, and then again, I think the window color is something that I think these are all things that as a board we need to be aware that they may come, you know, those are the changes that might occur, and we need to stress that. But yeah, building proportion, that's something that we could review in the building permit drawings, and maybe someone else would see it, you know, with a different eye, would pick up on that and say, well, wait a minute, there's something.
I imagine these are close to the building permit drawings. I doubt they're changing something as significant as floor height. I think a lot of it just has to do with the color and orientation of the materials and panels. Because those, like the architect said, those are done in the field when you're going to order a product and it's out, you know, so you've got to find a substitute. So I imagine a lot of those things were done after building permit drawings have been done.
Yeah, I agree with you, Brad, but I go through here on the bus every day. So this the top of the building here is, I think, significant.
I also think we could consider developing a checklist that would reinforce that those, what we approve are the proportions that we approve, the floor to floor heights that we approve, et cetera, so that when a deviation occurs, we have something to reference it to.
Yeah, because when I think back to that last meeting when we brought the Slater 116 and then the We Need a Vet Clinic, and I know we presented the changes, and the board in general felt that the changes were acceptable for the most part. And I'm trying to think in my mind, like, well, what's so different with this? And I'm trying to think of, like, what are key concepts? So you picked up on, like, the proportions are different, maybe. Are there any other types of design, more design guidelines or techniques that are something that staff can watch out for? Something like broad base that we can look at? And
I think we need to quantify it a little bit more, because our regulations are qualitative, and that's in a way where we maybe went down the wrong path a little bit.
Because I could tell you, when I look back at the Slater of 116, when I was reviewing the modifications, I try to think back to what was the intent of the board for the requirement,
yeah,
right?
As I did.
So if it's modulation, how is the changes in materials being reinforced with that? And and as long as they were still in keeping with that, I thought, fine, that was good, but...
You know, in a rendering, there may be detailing suggested that we just see it go by, and none of us necessarily know that, but then we miss it.
I think the ability to have especially SketchUp models, we may rely too much as a board on them. They're somewhat simplistic. I mean, picking up on some of Susan's points, the parapets, the railings on the balconies, totally different. I mean, these look like, you know, completely different than what's out there, and that definitely affects the overall look. It's all, you know, piece. They all taken together. It's just like, well, that's not what it was, you know, going to look like.
The same thing around the windows with the, you know, again, we're talking about, yes, technically maybe it is white in between there, but when you're looking at it, it looks much darker. Now when you look at the side of that building, you know, they almost, they stand out so much more than they do in this rendering.
Yeah. SketchUp's wonderful, but it's deadly in that sense that it you need to take it really close in terms of vignette pieces of exactly what it's going to look like at the detail level instead of just the broader stroke. Or we don't rely on them so much and ask for more detailed semi-working drawings, you know, that are, how is this going to work? And it, I agree with you, Brad, that some of these changes would have been way long after any kind of working drawing, you know, contract document review.
Yeah, we would have missed any chance to review something
Like
that.
But, yeah.
Which is unfortunate.
I mean, getting back to the brick getting swapped out, you know, for raw concrete, and architect commented that we'll have reduced the window sizing. Just the project we approved at the White Swan Car Wash, the brick there is a whopping half an inch thick. You know, it's truly the, quote, Z-brick approach. From a distance, you can't tell. You get up to it and you see wherever you can see the edge of it. So that's an option that could have been used here that wasn't, and that may have been caught, you know, when Janice comes to the board and said, here's a pretty major change, you know, what do we do? Do we, you know, approve this swap out of, you know, raw concrete, which some of the community council's comments on it were that it looks so raw and it's just so, you know, so brutal, if you will. You know, you can come back and sap concrete later on and make it really perfect, but it adds a lot to the cost of it. And, you know, that may be a point at which we sort of say, yes, the intent and the overall of what we were looking for carries through to that level of detail that really impacts how the whole thing comes together. So,
a good point on that is if it was real brick and then it got value engineered down to the Z brick, would we rather have that or would we rather see concrete?
We approved a whole bunch of Z brick at White Swan. I mean, that's what it is on almost every side of the thing right now, because that literally could not afford to lose any dimension in those commercial spaces, and so it is. It's just adhered, not an anchored, you know, masonry product. I know the previous meeting we also talked about the way the renderings treat the fully grown vegetation versus the saplings that are the 2-inch caliper that shows up there. Slater, that project there. And again, it's kind of it's so easy to find a wonderful looking low poly tree in SketchUp and plopped in there, but that's 18, 20 years later. You know, that's down the road. And that's in the middle of summer with a deciduous tree as opposed to, you know, the sticks you get from, you know, November to April around here. So,
so in the future, we could require landscaping at different times. So we see what we're really addressing.
And we can revisit our application forms too, and maybe add those comments.
In general, not only this project, and I wasn't here on the Slater discussion, but one of the things that I don't think we as a group have always addressed is the lack of reveal in a lot of these facades. They're so flat. And when you're looking at them in a presentation, it's not such a problem. But when you're looking at these vast facades, they really can be a bit oppressive, I think.
Okay. I do have to say, I went out today. I hadn't been out there in a long time, and I went out there today and walked all over the place. I'm probably in all the security cameras, and I wonder who's a stranger doing this stuff. And I have to say the public walkway through between the two buildings works pretty well.
Yeah.
I think it's very successful. a few little quibbly, detail-y things like had that slip through and whatnot, but it's, you know, for the most part, the steps from Northeast 38th up to, you know, it's pretty good grade change, but I think it's handled pretty well. It works okay. I guess I'll call it the west side of the velocity is, you know, where the buses exit to head back to Northeast 38th is real tall and real flat, but, you know, I don't know, I don't think there were any setbacks there that were required to be stepbacks.
It's a narrow drive. Right.
It's a zero.
Yes. Well, there's like 5-foot landscape.
Okay, strip. the 5-foot landscape and the transition.
And the pathway, you know, the walkway.
So. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, you're right. There isn't any requirement for
step
back.
But, you know, the other parts of it, and certainly when the base gets activities, you know, going in it now, because the velocity ground floor, I think, is a little exercise room, which may have some, you know, something going on, but certainly there's nothing, there's no attendance in any of the Kirkland Crossing building yet, and that may change. Mm-hmm. The little plaza area, you know, with full vegetation, I think it's going to work pretty well. Kind of a noisy, busy spot, but, you know, there's lots of other noisy, busy spots. If that's a coffee shop or something, there's a variety of seating out there, you know, which I think has worked pretty well. So it's not all doom and gloom from my viewing of it. I think parts of it turned out real well. And it got some affordable housing in the city of Kirkland, which is a pretty major, major thing, you know, realistically. So.
Susan, did you have any more items on your list?
No. I have a clarifying question for Brad. So on this whole piece of, because like with this project, I went through a whole process of code amendments to the council, the community. So then was your comment more like, so when we come, let's say, to the conceptual conference and we present the project initially, so it'd be good not only to have the design guidelines, but also background and maybe a zoning process that happened and then maybe the key issues that were raised.
Yeah.
And then,
Exactly. The key things that the previous bodies who have been taking a look at the project, the things that they've keyed in on.
Okay.
You know, Susan talked about, kind of like a checklist of major components. Just filling us in on something like that. So we say, okay, this is what people have already looked at. This is what their concerns are.
Right.
This is what they like or don't like. You know, it gives us a good spot to, you know, tackle a project from, I think.
Okay. That's doable.
To extrapolate that into what we're doing now, I mean, we've got the first thing on Totem Lake.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's a whole bunch of stuff there. Park Place obviously has been through a huge amount. So we've
started that, yeah.
But to your, you know, your question or your comment about what is it we really need to see that's handed off, you know, to us, that's important enough that we really have to pay close attention to it,
right,
as opposed to just, well, we know that the zoning envelope's this, we know that here's the setback and step-back requirements, blah, 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 you know, that kind of a thing. And I don't know if this would have been handed off any differently, because the Houghton Community Council doesn't really have a say in what it looks like when it gets to the DRB. The implication in here is that we handed it off and it changed. Right. You know, what happened? Why did it change?
Right.
When I don't think it was ever handed off in that respect, other than you mentioned some eyewash, some marketing kinds of drawings from makers or other stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And if that's the case, you know, it's got to have a big, huge splash of this is a representation only. This is not what it may look like.
Yeah. Well, or public comments.
So Janice, did the Houghton Community Council handed this off to the DRB?
They were involved in the code amendment process.
Yeah.
Well, there was a discussion, I believe, during the code amendments in trying to figure out what process this project should go through, whether it should go through a 2B, which would involve Houghton.
Right.
Or
then the decision was made at that point. So as we stand now, we would be getting all of the these kinds of projects.
Yes, that's correct. Yes, John's correct. That there was a discussion.
And the Houghton Community Council, presumably in their regular meetings, would be appraised of what's going on with projects they're interested in. And then the next day, you know, they're obviously welcome to come and speak to us.
Mm-hmm.
That seems to be where there's a big gap here, just reading comments and all that from previous Houghton Community Council meetings discussing this, is even if they were showing something that was just eyewash or marketing, I mean, it still can be a starting point for the actual proper design review process. And that didn't seem like there was ever any handoff of any such thing that was seen by something HCC saw that DRB.
Or maybe different members saw different things.
Yeah, seems to be a lot of.
But it's important not to forget as well that the Houghton Community Council is an oddball standalone thing that doesn't exist anywhere else in the city. And the number of projects that would have a type of review that this one went through, that it doesn't exist. I mean, there's no other community council that, am I correct, John? And there's nothing.
It'd be like a neighborhood association maybe that would.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that would
but just it's
be,
a different.
Right. Entity, and right. Curiously, we didn't hear a thing from Houghton Community Council on the Eastside Prep Gym. You know, that's right there. That's close by as well. So, you know, if that's the concern of the council, they should be on every little project that's in that Yarra Bay Business District, you know.
I just kind of a dumb question, a clarifying question, just because I'm not real familiar with community councils. I'd seen a comment or two scattered about having given up their right or ability
authority
to review this. Yeah. But
and that's
DRB still has jurisdiction over design review of anything going on in a in any zone district that is flagged for DRB. Is
well, that refers to what John was talking about.
It's more the zoning. It's the zoning process, not the actual design
yes,
review
the
process. Okay.
The community council has land use ultimate land use jurisdiction
yes.
in their area.
That's right. That's right.
And DRB action is part of it. So I would think if they didn't want us to review it, they could try and take it back. So it's better that there be one DRB for the whole city, and we should move forward that way. But I'm a little confused with, as it's been suggested that the Houghton Community Council had seen earlier versions of this, and that had prepared their thinking along a certain direction. That might have been in the whole concept that led to the rezoning of the area.
That's right.
Okay.
That's right.
But not necessarily, yeah, it was sort of,
King
here's
County,
the kind of thing. Yeah,
yeah. King County put out for public review. They were looking for a developer to an architect and development team. They put out a request for a proposal. And as part of that early conceptual process, there was another architect that looked at conceptually site plans and building envelopes for that. So,
Evan Ellsley, I spoke on behalf of the housing site.
Mm-hmm.
So did I.
Yeah, because through Arch and people who are really trying to get affordable housing there, and it seemed like rather than let it be a one site project, that it, creating the business district and having design review similar to what we would have at Houghton Center or elsewhere in the city made sense. And I think design, there was a designer, the idea that good design would make this be a nice project that would be an asset to the neighborhood. So,
yeah, go ahead and step up to the podium and state your name, please. And sign.
Elsie Weber, 10512 Northeast 65th Place, Kirkland, Washington, in the area of Houghton. I am speaking for myself and not for the Houghton Community Council. Maybe I better change that. Yes, I am speaking for HCC. We made the decision to let the review board, design review board, do this project because we had faith in you and we felt that you would follow through with it. And it's one of the few times that we have let something large that we thought was large go somewhere else. You guys are fairly, really good, and we understand that you are. And it's unfortunate that we were very disappointed, not in you, but in all the changes that were made. If just one change had been made, maybe it would have been okay, but when you start adding a change here and a change there and a change here and a change there, first thing you know, you end up with something that doesn't look like what you originally thought. Or at least that's the way we felt about it. And I'm very happy to be here and listen to you guys talk. I think you're doing a good job. So I'll shut up and sit down.
Thank you. Is there any recourse at this point to changing it?
Changing?
Well, I'm asking the group at large. Mm-hmm. Or is this give us direction for future?
If we were to ask for changes, we'd have to give specific changes we would want, correct? I mean,
yeah.
And I'm not so sure that focusing on that bit of siding or the concrete, you know, I don't think any one of those things would make the difference that people might be looking for. So is it warranted to make someone go through an expense?
I agree with that, Susan, but I really don't like that siding. I think it really detracts from the project. And the solid-colored panel on the lower solid-colored panel looked to me like an improvement. It's hard to get the...
They both did to me, frankly, yeah. From the photograph.
I mean, I do. But I also wonder if... would we be better off asking for more robust landscaping?
I agree with that.
That will go further to improve the landscaping. Can take care of a lot of buildings.
would it be inappropriate to ask the developer what's the cost to swap out the wavy wood grain panels with different panels?
You could certainly ask.
My understanding is it's a fairly simple rain screen siding system. So the weather resistant barriers underneath, and there's the standoff metal pieces. It's just a matter of getting equipment in there and unscrewing them. It looks like they're surface screwed. They're not nailed.
The slide 17 there we're talking about?
Yeah.
For the benefit of the record, my name is Eric.
Yeah, the two panels.
Yeah.
For the benefit of the record, my name is Eric Evans, and I'm with the ownership group. Address the concerns associated raised by the Houghton Community Council, and here too, we asked Mindy to go back and look at alternate eco-clad products. The top one is a maple, and the lower one is the walnut. That may not be the exact name, but they were chosen in relationship to the colors of the building. That might create a blend. If you haven't been there, I'd ask that you go look at it in person. I thought that the maple would be the right color. It would be an easy execution. It is replacing like for like in terms of product. That one, the maple on top, we removed a panel, cut to fit, and screwed it back on with different fasteners to maintain the weatherboard. I will say that if you look at it in person in sunlight, I have had a lot of comments from people who said it looks a little salmon-y, which it sure didn't when I had Mindy and I picked out the panel and we were looking at it in the at the manufacturers. The walnut color, both of these two were chosen to get away from what we heard is a little bit of the concern. The veining creates a different effect on the material, so these are both calmer. When we put these up and staff looked at it and our ownership group looked at it, there was a feeling that perhaps it was a little flat. So the salmon didn't quite, it looked too close to the trim and the under soffit. As you come around, you don't quite see it. It's in the shade. From a cost standpoint, the ownership group came to the conclusion too much had been invested here in the process. This had a long history, 10 years. It predated us. Some of the requests for qualification and proposals, the Metro Garage was actually in Kirkland, underneath the building. So it was a much different scheme, and it took a lot of collaboration and a separate design review process in Bellevue to get the garage in Bellevue. So it was a tough project to follow in terms of the process, let alone through Houghton and City Council and all. The staff spin, and we brought them out before to look at it, was that some of the things that Houghton and others in the community expressed were the upper story setbacks, where the veining of the material got closer to that and did create a little bit of deviation. We're open to replacing it, but if you haven't really, if you haven't been there in person in sunlight and really looked for them and looked at them, I'm afraid you might end up with a similar reaction after I replaced it with gray, or I replaced it with the maple that was supposed to, that now looks apparently like salmon. So I think there is real logic to color boards that you can touch and feel. And I can tell you, I have painted lots of buildings, and I painted them more than once. And there's something to be said of taking the palette outside and looking at it in shade and looking at it in light. This was done a month ago, and it was left up so that you could see it. So if you haven't had the chance, we do want to give you that opportunity. We support staff and their recommendation, but it's there for your decision.
Quick question. The Velocity project had some rain screen wood that was Ipe, is that right?
That is correct.
But it was a very limited, small amount.
Just in correct? The stair tower.
Okay. Is that also Ipe on the seats, the seating slats that are in the public walkway? Some of those have gotten, at least on the this side, are stained or finished really nice and dark. The other side, the Velocity side, looks to be just left natural, like it's going to let it weather, or... Oh, okay.
But there's a fairly robust maintenance program for the team. And my wife and I both use the transit center. And I would say that projects like this, they are change. And it is a significant change. And the panels are growing on my wife. And in terms of the bleaching, they do bleach. The sunlight does tend to lighten them. And you get accustomed to it. And I do think the landscaping, as it has a chance to establish and grow, does help create it. The feedback we got from the community was that that concrete facade was a little rough. It was a little harsh. Our landscape architect recommended a flowering tree. And with the retail space, I think that'll create a nice connection, because there is a pedestrian that's really right at the top of those trees, that one flower will be quite nice. I think the ownership group wanted to convey, we very much care about this building. This is one we own. It's one we intend to own for a long time in the family. And we've been in the city for 28 years. And this is a very important asset to us. It's over a $75 million program.
Can I ask one last question? I hate to be kind of the I think, relatively tiny letters that say Kirkland Crossing on the top of the thing are, unless you're 20-10 from a distance, unreadable. Are they illuminated at night then? Because I haven't seen, so they light up at night?
Yeah.
Okay.
And that was another component the Houghton Council struggled with. The master signage plan is not something that this design review board does approve. It is something that staff does. And you may want to consider, because signage does tend to be a component that people are very attached to in buildings.
Is the velocity sign also the vertical velocity sign? Is that illuminated as well?
It is not, but the banner on the outside, so if you look at the blade, there is light on the blade.
The tip of the blade,
correct.
But the lettering on the side of it that says velocity vertical is not illuminated.
Okay. It's probably more art than sign.
Okay, yeah. Okay.
So, did we answer your question? Or do you want more specific feedback?
I guess one question is about the panels, your input on that.
Well, I think I agree with Susan that the landscaping is going to have a greater impact in the long run than changing those out, and that we can use this as a springboard to go forward with a little more comprehensive way to evaluate whether the applicants meet the intent, our intent, or not.
So the
that's my feedback.
Okay. The applicant, they did add more landscaping. So I don't know if you've been out. To what's there now.
Is there another amenity that we feel would serve the nature of the transit center and the pedestrians? I'm not saying one way or the other, but if indeed there's an expense to the owner, what would provide the most benefit?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and about the panels, I appreciate the developers' comments, and although I go by there many, many times, in the last couple of weeks I haven't, so I haven't seen the two panels that are up there, and I'll look forward to doing that. So. Mm-hmm.
Me too.
Do you guys want to change it? Do you want a recommendation? If you want to change it, then should we be weighing in on it?
If it's probably not the right forum, but the owner, after 10 years and following the RFQ for a long time, used the analogy, felt like it was the Super Bowl. We were down at the 1 yard line and it shouldn't have ended this way. Yeah. And so the feedback we got was, if there's something we could do with the panels, could we look at it? We took a professional approach, selections, presented to staff, and I think on balance, the original panels have enough texture in the perspective of staff that over time people will come to appreciate the variety. I heard the concern, and I'm quite confident that if we were to place it with the salmon, we would get a significant amount of feedback on that color. Mm-hmm. The feedback I got on the mocha walnut was that it was a little flat.
Yeah, I can see that.
And it lacked a little bit of the variety. Mm-hmm. Of the two, the mocha is a safer approach. If you were to ask us to look at mocha and the gateway, I think you might get feedback that it lacked a little bit of the gateway component. Would you get perhaps a bigger bang out of landscaping? Possibly. This is change. It takes a while. I think the reception on the pedestrian gateway has been well received. And landscaping, Catherine, the landscape architect from Webber Thompson, made a point to tell me there is a downside of trying to plant a 12-foot vine. They aren't designed to be transplanted when they're 12 years old. They get established in their location. So it would be more of augmenting additional landscaping. And I can go back to Catherine and ask her if there are other recommendations associated with the landscaping that she might adjust. But for me, I'd ask that you go look at them and come back to see if you concur with Janice and the planning director, Eric Shields, and we're prepared to implement accordingly.
I have a quick question, just since we just got handed these samples. The I'm not as concerned with the color, but the graining pattern that's on the boards looks... It looks a lot different than in this small sample. There's some pretty bold, strong, you know, streaks through there.
That's what happens when you get told you can't get the sample that you want and you're in the middle of construction. The square sample that I showed you was the original sample that we presented to design board. So you see it did have some texture, and that was our intent. We're really going for texture and giving it scale. And I think Eric expressed that, you know, the alternates that we propose, it just looks like more painted hardy, which you lose that scale, which is really important to the building to have a variety of scale. And so, you know, when we're asked to have the manufacturer provide us our next closest match, we received the thin rectangular sample. It did appear that it was the same tone. That panel is taken from kind of the middle field where there isn't the veining. So we weren't unfortunately able to assess that before it was installed. But I think it does give us that scale that you lose if you do something that's a flat mat.
What are the dimensions of the panels? One of my big problems with the grain, I agree that the pattern is needed. If it was just one flat color, it would not look attractive. I think people's problem is that the grain is so repetitive, you can literally see it, you know, in every bay. And I'm not sure what those dimensions are, but perhaps if you shuffled some of them so it's not like an exact, you know, pattern from either across or up and down, that might help. So I'm just wondering, based on the dimensions of the panels, if perhaps reorganizing them might, you know, ease up on the repetitiveness. That just looks unnatural.
It's the issue. I mean, that's the thing with photo oak and photo laminate nowadays is this. They take one photo and it just, and you can exactly see it. Brad, you're right. I mean, it's the exact same piece, just, you know, reproduced.
So on the gateway elevation, you can see that the installation of the graining was installed so that there's a narrow strip where it skips. Yeah. So it may be that we could look at the way... I'm sorry, let me get back to the other picture. We could try to turn the panels between windows a different way so it changes so that the grain doesn't run all the way across. Yeah, so it creates that hiccup in the pattern.
It's just a thought to help break it up, because I think that's what people take issue with, is the fact that, I mean, it's simulating wood grain, but it's at such a scale that that's not realistic, and I just think people kind of inherently can tell that.
Yeah.
And so maybe by just mixing it up a bit, you know, you would have to buy a whole new material and scrap the existing, but you could help break up that repetitiveness that people just get, that quilting effect that people can kind of see.
Yeah, it's interesting. Just to be clear, this this is a wood-based product. Mm-hmm. So it's not photo. I mean, this is a paper product meshed onto a resin. It's $11 a square foot material. It was a selection that was part of the gateway thought process. If you go out there and look at it, the ones that are calmer, that are flatter, have grain. And they were chosen to be close to the one. Alternating.
It gets busy.
Yeah.
Go out and look at the other elevation. That strip where it's not moving grain across drives me crazy. I actually prefer it just going across and being clear.
Yeah, that's true. Taking it in from those different distances, is important.
I have to personally say I don't mind a bit. I think it should stay just as it is to save the money. I would swap out the mud taupey grayish brown on the, I call it the crossing fin, the big piece that, you know, heads upwards. That one to me is, that's just deadly. It changes thickness halfway up. The lower portions where it's the 5/16 hardy aren't, they're not, I mean, it looks really cheesy down at the base.
Where was that, Tim?
The fin, the big tall fin piece that's got the Kirkland crossing on top. Oh. Those pieces are, it's a mud taupey painted hardy, 5/16 at the bottom portion, and it thickens up maybe, almost looks like a full inch, about 12 or 15 feet up. And it has none of the characteristics that the original submitted drawings did of the larger gap where you could see the black of the weather barrier behind it. It's the piece that it just stands out to me as being my personal objection. And maybe it's the little lettering at the top that I thought the super graphic of the E originally, I had no idea what the E meant, but I thought, well, that's kind of cool. I mean, it kind of gateways, you know, K would have been perhaps logical since it's Kirkland, but just that, and it wasn't the 70s, you know, Helvetica painted on fire stations kind of super graphics, but it was, it read to me as a little bit more meaningful than just, you know, the little Kirkland crossing. But if you go out there, take a look. I don't mind the wood graining. The color of it is, it's not exactly what was on the boards and on the approved drawings, but I think the big piece that was on the drawings is that big fin piece that had a really interesting texture and character to it as it climbed up, you know, all the way to the top with a big E on top. So, because, in the lower left corner here, you see, you know, more of a wood color, and you see the black gaps in between the pieces, it looks to me like, and it gets to the top and it's more transparent. That's not at all how it reads out there in the field. And the color is nowhere near wood. It's, I call it the mud taupe when you can't decide which side to go color, you know, warm or cool, and I think that's the one that just, to my eye, needs to be changed. Smaller pieces, less expensive, I would think. They're just screwed onto the standoffs on the barrier underneath. I think it still functions okay as a rain screen if you put more, or do we lose the UV on the barrier underneath if we let big gaps happen?
Yeah.
Shoot. Okay.
Some of it's, a little feedback. Some of the concern was both the narrow strips of that EcoClad material and how that narrow profile would weather, but also from the standpoint of being on people's unit balconies and then down at grade, there was concern for vandalism through our weather barrier and not wanting to compromise that. We certainly have talked about looking at painting that so that it was more in keeping with the wood graining. Okay. Again, we get into, is it too salmon-y or not? So it's a fine line of
the devil in the detail. We all interpret color differently. Yeah. And the balconies on the approved stuff looked clean and simple and kind of these slabs that just sort of magically cantilevered out. And it looks like now we get quite a bit of structure with some tension tie backs at an angle, and they sort of look denser than more opaque than, and was that a value engineering thing that we just, because we're not, that's not, are they, they're not cantilevered slabs, they're?
No, they're
They're not. They're tied back. On. Yeah, okay. It's wood framing, so the dream of having them magically supported is not realistic. Okay. Yeah.
And the Juliet balconies on the south, I call it the south side, I guess southwest side, were those in the drawings anywhere?
The south, the lower left picture here?
Well, yeah, I guess that is.
Yeah. Yeah. The difference is it just, there's an extension that goes on to the paneling that I think when we look at this one, they're reduced.
Oh, so in the lower left, they almost look like they're...
There were little balconies in that area as well.
But they're truly not balconies. They're
Juliets.
Just Juliets, okay. Okay. So yeah, that was one that I hadn't picked up on. Yeah. And I know the even bolting on Juliet balconies gets to be kind of interesting because of the detailing involved. And
yeah. And again, there's a bit of a difference too with the balconies. Just in the rendering, they're darker. They don't stand out as much. And then you look up at the picture, and they're light, and they.
The railings.
Yeah, the railings. Yeah. Sorry. Yeah, they really are a much stronger element then. They certainly stand out more. But, you know, again, maybe that was the issue of the lines are thin on the rendering, so it looks dark instead of what the true color is in between. Yeah. But it is a bit of a, I mean, it's just unintentionally, you know, but a bit of a little bit confusing then when you see the final product.
A quick question, are the elevations here, are those pulled right out of a SketchUp model, or those were, okay.
Okay, well, it seems like we've identified the issues and thoroughly. So I think we should make some decisions about any recommendations that we might have.
I think I've already kind of covered my thoughts on recommendations already. I will say that this meeting has been informative. I think it's helped me at least identify what questions to ask in the future about projects. Mm-hmm. You know, just for example, you know, the color of windows and, you know, how are things rendered regarding balconies rather than saying, oh, there's a balcony. We'll ask, okay, is this balcony really black or is it going to be something else? As far as changing out the panels, before I give my final thoughts toward that, I do want to see, you know, the replacements, but I feel like the grain is going to be needed to help add some depth.
It's going to be what, Brett?
What's that?
The grain is going to be what?
The grain is going to be helpful, okay. To create depth.
Yeah.
I think if it's one flat color, it will look, I don't know, very blocky.
Similar to Brad, I think mine are pretty well identified cost-wise and just realistically swapping out the wood grain panels I don't think is beneficial in terms of, you know, what we gain for what it costs to do. I do think additional landscaping will help. It probably is less expensive than major, you know, swap-outs of materials on an already occupied building. I don't see this getting scaffolded and wrapped in plastic like, you know, you see lawsuit projects happening. I'll call it the Kirkland Crossing fin is, I think, where my focus would be. And if it's as simple as paint, just pulling the pieces off, taking them off-site, spraying them, and putting them back up, I'd be happy with that. And I think, too, we got to give it a little bit of time when actually something happens in that lower floor, the tenant level, where the, you know, there's going to be things happening, people in the courtyard and the plaza rather than just empty concrete. So
how's this for a thought, that we leave it up to you to respond to the feedback that you've gotten and then... You can bring it back up with staff, and I mean, I think it's basically a voluntary effort at this point. Would you guys agree with me? Or?
Mm-hmm. Well, I actually wonder if it really should be any mitigation should be brought to Houghton Community Council, because I think there's more emotion there. I mean, we're all taking this as lessons learned.
Right.
But for them, it's it may be a while before they face this again, and they might have an interest in what the outcome is. And we probably are flexible. It seems like we're more flexible, perhaps.
Yeah, and I like the idea of giving the owner the opportunity to choose how they respond and what, you know, give them a chance to step back at it too, having heard our, you know, our concerns, and that way they can maybe find the most cost-effective, you know, the most bang for your buck kind of response that does the most good for, you know, also, you know, mitigating their costs as well. So,
do we need to make any kind of a motion or anything?
Okay. I think no. I think that's good feedback.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thanks. So, would somebody like to move to adjourn?
So move.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
I'm meeting adjourned.
Thank you. We didn't talk about the mechanism for getting, but the mechanism for getting